This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. And John, thanks as always for being with us.
As I recover from a sleepless 36 hours during election, it's a pleasure.
Well, John, let's get right to your predictions. You guessed that Republicans would get a net plus 63 in the House. Several races are still yet to be called, but you look to be pretty much right on target. At least 61, I think, have been called for Republicans, with about 10 more left to go. What did you see? What do you think was the key to that big of a surge for the GOP?
Obviously, the voter anger at Barack Obama and the administration's plan to enhance the role of government in their lives. That was the glue that put together the coalition that was able to score so many upsets. Symbolic of the race was the defeat of three powerful committee chairmen in the House, those being Ike Skelton, chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, 34-year veteran of Congress from Missouri, John Spratt, chairman of the House Budget Committee, whose election from South Carolina I wrote about back in 1982, and James Oberstar, again, who's been in Congress 36 years from Minnesota and chairs the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. And in all of those cases, these are people who could mail in their reelection campaigns, and they all went down for the count. Voters must have been pretty upset if they were able to do that and give Republicans their largest majority in the House since 1946.
John, on the Senate side, you predicted the Republicans would actually scale that mountain, get the 10 seats they needed in order to get a majority with a scant 51 seats. Obviously, that did not happen. Right now, they're plus six with the possibility, perhaps, of one more in Washington State, although it doesn't look very good for Dino Rossi at this point. Ultimately, key races that you thought were going to tilt to the GOP, like West Virginia, like Connecticut, like Nevada, certainly, like a lot of people thought would happen in Nevada,
right,
didn't happen. Why not?
Well, I think obviously this has to do with the candidates in many cases, but also the odds that are there. West Virginia has not elected a Republican senator since 1958. My home state of Connecticut has been trending more and more Democratic. It has not had a Republican senator elected since 1988. And as for Nevada, well, in that case, Harry Reid had every resource at his disposal and an opponent for who we shall say was controversial. I might add, you're correct. No poll called his reelection, and I was surprised. As for Dino Rossi, I just received a memo before we went on the air, Greg, from his campaign manager, and more than 500,000 votes remain to be counted with 1% of the vote out. Let's wait till it's all in before we judge things. I've gotten in a lot of trouble over the years and went through a lot of embarrassment calling things that didn't happen and changed when the votes came in.
I think we've both been in that camp. John, as you look at the new crop of Republicans, six in the Senate, 60-plus in the House of Representatives, what new faces are you most interested to see what they'll be able to do on Capitol Hill?
The new faces that I'm looking at most are the people who came from the business community and had minimal or no political experience. They're the ones who are probably most likely inoculated against Potomac fever. They will not be enamored with serving in office or living in Washington, and I think they will do the right things. That means voting against spending, taking a good look at discretionary spending, opposing any tax increase, and most importantly, putting entitlements such as Medicare on the table finally and looking them without fear of political retribution, because they can always get a job and make more money elsewhere.
John, in terms of how the president responds, we've seen a couple different things over the past couple of days. At his press conference on Wednesday, the president said he's been humbled, that he realizes that everybody needs to work together more, need to work towards the economy. But at the same time, he says he still pretty much agrees with all the decisions that he made on the critical issues. One of the other things he tried to claim, though, is that it was emergency situations and not his own agenda that led to situations like the stimulus bill and the government involvement in General Motors. How is that going over?
Well, I don't think it's selling very well, because one thing about Barack Obama, he could show a little bit of a sign of humility when he said, "I was shellacked." And then on the other hand, he has every excuse in the world as to why he was shellacked in the election. Now, has he indicated any change? Well, the jury's out on that. He is meeting with many Republican leaders, but his tone was not that conciliatory. In contrast to not only President Obama, but to Newt Gingrich and the Republicans when they won the House 16 years ago, Speaker-to-be John Boehner sounded very warm and very open to sitting down, and there was not a hint of braggadocio or having his feet in the cement. I have a feeling that John Boehner, a regular guy who has, as he said, chased the American dream his whole life, he smokes cigarettes, he plays golf, he's got a great sense of humor. I've got a funny feeling he's going to do pretty well in that job.
John, real quickly, both Boehner and McConnell are obviously being discussed a lot right now, and McConnell's taking a lot of heat from certain circles about his claim, basically, that for the Republicans to really accomplish what they want to accomplish, it means that President Obama needs to be defeated, and so that remains at the top of his agenda. Many Democrats, of course, saying that that suggests the Republicans are all about winning and not necessarily about actually accomplishing anything.
Well, they did win. They won the House. They made big gains in the Senate. Can you blame Leader McConnell for having a little bit of swagger, a little bit of playground taunting in him? After being slapped down on so many things, after having a health care bill that the public didn't want, wired, stacked, rigged, and packed to get through Congress, I'm going to forgive the leader on this. I think we should, too. And let's see what actions take place.
Very good. John, a very busy week. So many things that we didn't even get to, certainly including many governor's races and big wins there for the Republican Party. But rest up, and we'll get ready for the lame duck session.
Hoping that we deal with Alaska before we go out for Christmas. I'm John Gizzi on Capitol Hill.
John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.